You'll see our scripture, John chapter 14, verses 18 through 23, in the bulletin this morning. And the verse I'd like to focus on, really the primary emphasis of the sermon, is in blue in John chapter 14, verse 23. And I encourage you to go there. This is an incredible chapter. It is where Jesus comforts his disciples before his crucifixion, and he promises them the Holy Spirit. This is an absolutely vital passage of Scripture. Some years ago, I was talking with one of my older brothers about faith. This is a man who is not walking with God. And when the subject came to the presence of Jesus in our lives, every day he was skeptical. How can I be sure that it isn't just self-persuasion? He said. And that's a really good question. I have to admit, it bothered me at first. But because all of us have at one point or another talked ourselves into believing something that wasn't true. We've all done that, right? I mean, for example, when we were small children, my sister's 17 and a half years my senior, and so when she was newly married and living in Santa Barbara, we used to go up and visit her, and she lived in this home that had two or three stories. They were renting a part of it. And below this, it was up on a hillside, never forgot it, overlooking, you know, the lights of Santa Barbara, beautiful, beautiful place. But there was a cellar. And the cellar had this small wooden door. And it was there that my brother-in-law kept his tools. And because I was the kid who one day, running along, had tripped and fallen and put a screwdriver into my forehead, he wanted me to stay out of that particular place. So he told me that the boogeyman lives in there. And active imagination that I have, oh, I believed him. And I didn't go near that place. And when the sun would start to set, I would make sure I was well enough away from that cellar door. You ever do that with something? Believe something that isn't there? See something that isn't there? Oh man, people do it all the time. For example, put something up on Facebook. Do you think, oh, the whole world sees it? I mean, sometimes people get caught. There's a name for that. I don't remember exactly what it is. But, of course, we know that they don't, that Facebook also has its algorithms that limit things increasingly. But, sadly, this can lead to real tragedies, especially in adolescent life, as, you know, kids look at things and they think, oh man, everybody knows about this. When in reality, maybe they don't. As we dive deeper into God's Word, this is a good question to ask. How much of this is self-persuasion? Is Jesus just a good boogeyman that I talk about? Tim and I were driving to help Steve and Andy the other day, and you've got to see the front of Tim's dashboard. Tim, hope you don't mind. he has this little plastic Jesus, and he has this wild thing from Where the Wild Things Are on the dash of his car. And so I asked him, Tim, who was driving? Was it the wild thing or Jesus? And, well, the truth was Tim was following me. But paybacks are fun, because this morning as I was coming back after I'd forgotten the sermon, And I pulled into the parking lot for the second time. Tim turned to me and said, "So who was driving, the wild thing or Jesus?" On that note, let's pray again. Lord, as we look into your word, bless us. Help us to just love you and understand. In your name. Amen. So, the challenge here, what's real? What's real? Is there something more to this presence of Jesus that we talk about in our lives than just self-persuasion? Oh, you know where I'm going to come from on that. I absolutely believe that there is. But I'd like us to talk to about living with Jesus in the moment this morning. What does that feel like? How does that work itself out in our day-to-day lives? But as we go there, it's important to recognize that this is something that each of us have to work out for ourselves in a practical way. It's something that the way you express it might be a little different. Now, there are going to be similarities all the way across for us, but it might be a little different than the way I approach it. But this is not something you can talk yourself into. This is something that you have to live into. Because God is real and will reveal himself to you as you live. But the challenge is that God does not limit himself to being known by the ways that we think he should be. When the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus asking for a sign that he really was the Son of God, you ever do something like that? Jesus didn't give him one. As a matter of fact, he had some of the harshest words in response. It would have made you uncomfortable if you were standing there. He called them a wicked and adulterous generation, and then he pointed to his coming resurrection, indicating that would be enough. He said, "The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah," meaning Jonah, in the fish 3 days, Jesus, in the earth 3 days. But his point is, we cannot make demands of God. We can only come to him humbly and by faith, and that's important to know when we think about what it means to live with Jesus in the moment. Jesus himself shows us what this looks like in John 14. Here's our chapter. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Notice the wording, how specific that is. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. "Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" And Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." Now, with these words, Jesus is promising the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And God's Word tells us in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So that is the truth of the Word of God. That is one way you and I can know that it is much more than self-persuasion. The Spirit of God testifies within. But we may look at that and then we can say, well, again, is that the Spirit I'm hearing, or is it only myself? Well, God has ways of making Himself known. So don't worry that too much. I think of what Bernard Clairvaux wrote. The love of Bernard of Clairvaux, the love of Jesus, what it is, none but His loved ones know. What is happening when you and I live with Jesus in the moment is something on a deeper spiritual level. It is deeper than our intellect. It is deeper than our emotions. It is deeper than our experience, although it certainly touches all of those areas. But it goes so deep, it goes into that part of us which is eternal. And that is why, as we live so focused on the things of this earth, it is difficult for us to sometimes go there and understand. But Jesus describes what this looks like in just a few short words in John 14:23. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. That's why we started with that image of the light of the world this morning, because that is what Jesus wants, to come into our home. There's a great book I really recommend, just a short booklet by Robert Boyd Munger called My Heart, Christ's Home. It's a beautiful allegory of Jesus living inside of us. Robert Boyd Munger, My Heart, Christ's Home. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to pick it up. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. And then, my Father will love them. This is a special kind of love. I believe this happens when you and I make an effort in our lives personally to love Jesus. And of course, the same writer, John, tells us elsewhere that any love in our lives starts from Him. He writes, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So love begins with God, but love is also something that I can give in return, right? I mean, that is one of the most challenging things about loving a prodigal, is that you can't reach in there and change someone's heart as hard as you try. That's the human freedom of the will that God has placed within each of us. And Scripture tells us that God longs for us to come to Him, that He loved us so much that He gave His Son. What kind of a love is that? Love begins with God, but it's also something I can give in return that is more than a feeling. It is an act of the will. And we tend to mess this up. The picture of love isn't the romance that burns up the screen, but the love that washes your socks in your old age and goes the distance. I mean, if Rose had really loved Jack in the Titanic movie, she would have gotten off of that stupid door in the cold water and put him on it, knowing she could last longer in the water than he. And yet, people look at a movie like that and say, "Oh, such love." Well, really? Get off the door.
I wanted to have a picture of that. There's a there made its way around the internet a few years ago. It said the number of ways that Jack and Rose could have fit on the door together. Did anybody ever see that? It was hilarious. Somebody had actually calculated the buoyancy of what they were on and the weight of both of them and said, look, this is possible. But the point is that real love comes with commitment. And that's what Jesus wants. This special kind of love God pours into us happens as we commit ourselves to Him. That's why Jesus is saying that earlier here, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. We're going to be taking that to heart, right? I love the way he puts it here. We'll come to them and we'll make our home with them. Think about that. Don't you want that? I mean, to have Jesus at home, to have the Father at home in you, man. We're already loved by Him with this amazing love. But then Jesus says, love me back. You know, anyone who loves me will obey me, and my Father will love them. And usually when I hear this text preached on, the emphasis is all about obedience. So I'll obey, obey, obey. And it's like, okay, yes. That's where it starts. That's important. But don't just stop there. Anybody see these propaganda shirts that the skateboarders wear that say, obey? You know, it's kind of this. If I'd had one, I would have worn one this morning. It's like, okay, yeah, great. But move beyond into love. Because that's what God wants from us. That's what's uniquely yours and mine to give Him. That you and I can respond to Him with. Jesus promises us this. It is a promise. We will come to them and make our home with them. This is what Jesus is talking about when he says that you and I can call on God as Abba, Father. It's this beautiful, tender, heartfelt imagery, and it is new with Jesus. This was not Old Testament religion. You see some expressions of it with David. He's moving in there, but who is Jesus? The Son of David, right? And in Jesus, what you see is this full expression. Jesus is the first time that this expression of God as Abba, Father, comes forth. And so the question I'd like us to weigh in our own hearts and minds this morning is, do I love Jesus? Do I love Him? Not just am I doing the right stuff? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? Am I being obedient in the areas where I know it's tough, but I'm going to do it? But is all of that happening out of a heart of love? You know, the truth is, this is hard for us. Because we are, by nature, self-focused creatures, right? I mean, why would one of the most popular songs be, you know, this ridiculous anthem of, I did it my way in the 20th century? Because people listen to that and they think, oh yeah, my way. Well, we don't want to stand before God like that. You know, the truth is, it starts with love. Take a look at what Jesus said to the church in the Revelation, the church in Ephesus. You have forsaken the love you had at first.
But why does he tell them that? Because this is where you see specifically that love is an act of the will. He says, do the things, right? Do the things. Let's go there. I don't have it on PowerPoint. Revelation 2:4. Let's take a quick look. Express that love in a practical way, like we were talking about earlier, standing up sometimes when you worship, right? Yet this I hold against you. You have forsaken your love. Then verse 5, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But the beautiful thing that's in that is that we can turn back. If you and I have sinned and are putting things in front of God's will clearly expressed in His Word, I know Your Word says this, Lord, but I want it this way in my life because I have these needs. Oh, man. Can't the one who made us fulfill our needs, if we are patient and love him in response? We all struggle every day. We all struggle with sin and self-focus. But God is good and would have us turn. And increasingly, you and I can keep turning to Him and loving Him more. If you want to sense more of God's presence in your heart and life, if you want to be at home with Jesus, love Him, tell Him, show Him. Let that be the expression of your heart as you go through the day. God loves that. And He will meet you there in love. That's what He's saying, right? Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Love Him, and He's saying, here I come. One of my favorite hymn writers is Phillips Brooks. He's the pastor who wrote O Little Town of Bethlehem. And you know, I emphasize it every Christmas Eve service. I love that hymn. He was a uniquely gifted writer. But I love that hymn for these words, specifically, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of His heaven. Think about that for a moment. Stop there for a moment. We'll come to Him and make our home with Him. No ear may hear His coming. We may not always. This isn't about feeling, is it? This is deeper than feeling, as we were saying earlier. Yes, it affects our feelings sometimes. But other times, you and I are who we are, and this life is tough, and man, it just takes time for us to increasingly give ourselves over to God. But as we do, and as we love Him, no ear may hear Him coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Now, I love this because I know the truth behind this in Phillips Brooks' life. Toward the end of his life, he was asked about the secret of his peace and his strength, what it was that helped him. It was in a letter that he responded to a young man who was asking him about this. And he said, the more I've thought it over, the more sure it has seemed to me that these last years have had a peace and fullness which there did not used to be. It is a deeper knowledge and truer love of Christ. I cannot tell you how personal this grows to me. He is here. He knows me. And I know him. It is no figure of speech. It is the realest thing in the world. And every day makes it realer. And one wonders with delight what it will grow to as the years go on. Keep opening the door, dear one. Love him back. Love him back. And there will be no mistake about it. No self-persuasion. No doubt about it. When his Spirit affirms with your spirit that you are a child of God, and not with your ears, but with your soul, you hear him whisper, "Welcome home." May we pray. Lord, give us grace to walk into these things, to welcome you in, to love you, to express love to you genuinely, indeed, and then in word. Oh, Lord, in those places in our lives where we have forsaken our first love, have mercy on us. Help us to have tender hearts and to turn from our stinking and decaying sin. And to welcome the new life, the cleansing, the blessing that you alone can give, light of the world. Oh, there is no one like you, and we affirm you are here. You really are Emmanuel, God with us. You really do keep your promises. And in those times when we've thought it was the darkest, it's when we wait a moment still that we see, yes, you are right there. This morning, as we've talked about these things, maybe, just maybe you've said, "Yeah, I don't know him like that. I want to." Tell him. And if there's sin that you're struggling with, or if you've never confessed your sins and asked for his cleansing and forgiveness, do it. Just be real with him. And the more real you are with him, the more real he will make himself to you. Because he is love, and that's what this is all about. So, Lord, we worship you. We worship you. We thank you for your cross. You died and came to life
to call us home. Yes, Lord. Oh, we do receive you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.